comments here throughout the show. We're talking Kamau Stokes testing out the NBA draft waters. Also, the ESPN saga from today. They laid off a ton of people. Lots of reporters and employees that I'm sure you've heard of. Brett McMurphy, Jeremy Crabtree, a fairly local one that's on that list. Dana O'Neill, Jay Crawford, Ed Werder. Big names from ESPN that have been laid off today, and I think a lot of people are drawing the wrong conclusion from this. We're going to discuss that a little bit more on the back half of this segment. We do have what DJ Reed said in response to hearing that Penn State was going to let media members return kicks in their spring game. Would DJ Reed take it easy on us? That's at 525. You can't be serious. Is at 550. Honestly, a breath of fresh air here to have a nice full hour. No Royals interrupting us with their losing. We don't need the Royals losing associated with our 4 to 6 hour of winning. Because that's what we do here from 4 to 6 is win. I don't need the Royals getting their losing stench all over my time slot.
We've got an awful lot of wacky and stormy going on today's show.
I don't think this is wacky and stormy at all. I would just prefer not to have the Royals' seven-game losing streak bleeding into what I'm trying to do on air here.
By the way, just along those same lines, a great quote from Eric Hosmer that's going over very well with Royals Twitter. He said that the team can't wait to get home because that's the ballpark that the team was made for, and they just play better at Kauffman Stadium. A ground ball is a ground ball in all 30 ballparks, and that's all that Eric Hosmer is hitting right now.
Yeah, he's not very good.
No.
He's not very good right now. Not good at all. All right, so people who I think were blown away when they saw last night that Kamau Stokes' name was amongst the 193 early entrants to the NBA draft. Again, just to recap the details here, you can do this as many times as you want, test the waters, so to speak, without any kind of penalty, as long as you don't hire an agent. Kamau Stokes does not plan to do that here. The quote from Bruce Weber says Kamau wanted to get some exposure and maybe some workouts with teams. Everyone has a dream of making it to the NBA. No harm, no foul. He said a lot. Some other players were interested as well. Barry Brown showed the most interest outside of Kamau Stokes, but only Stokes is actually testing the NBA waters here. Just to briefly recap what we sort of hit on in the first hour, I mean, Kamau Stokes, I have some concerns about what he would hear and that if he's going to start working towards just trying to do whatever the NBA would tell him he needs to do as opposed to what makes him a better college basketball player for Kansas State. I don't think the risk is nearly as high as, say, a Marcus Foster, who seemed to get some of these thoughts in his ear a couple of years ago, and that really affected him. So I don't think it's all that big of a worry. But I think there's another effect at play here, and that is that Wesley Owundu, when he came into K-State, was, I mean, he was the third guy with the Harrison twins on an AAU team. He was playing third fiddle, not just second fiddle, but third fiddle. He was pretty overlooked and went from a relatively unknown prospect to now here, and even going into this year, no one really felt he was going to be a legitimate NBA prospect, I don't think. But the way he finished the year, he's played himself onto some NBA draft boards and maybe an NBA draft pick. I think you'd be crazy to think that this would have happened, that Kamau Stokes would have his name in the NBA draft, testing out the draft waters. Maybe crazy is the wrong word, but I think the fact that Wesley Owundu's star has become so bright now in the eyes of the NBA has influenced these guys into saying, well, wait, if Wesley Owundu could do that, come in as, you know, the three-star recruit, they were all about the same spot, you know, as far as what they're going into K-State recruiting-wise, why not me? Why can't I be that guy? And they're taking some of that. You know, they're watching Wesley Owundu work out right now, getting ready for the draft, and that has gotten into him. I think that would only be natural for this to happen. I think that is a reason why you're seeing this happen.
I agree. I do think it's kind of funny because when you say, you know, why not me? Well, I can think of a few reasons.
Well,
you're 6 feet tall.
165 pounds.
You're 165 pounds. You should be playing the two in college, but you're playing the one, but you can only play the one in the NBA.
Well, again, I don't want this to turn into a Kamau Stokes bashing set.
Right.
Like, Kamau Stokes is perfectly fine for where K-State's program is at right now. He can be a good Big 12 guard. There's no doubt about it in the back half of his career. He can be, I think, a good Big 12 guard. But there's a giant difference between good Big 12 guard and NBA caliber player. That is what we're trying to say here.
Right.
I just want to make sure we make that distinction because I like Kamau Stokes and I like what he can bring to the floor for this team. So I don't want to just have this be knocking him over the head, beating a dead horse about the skills that he lacks for the NBA.
And I agree that that all of the fanfare around Wesley Owundu over the last month to 6 weeks has been a big part of why Kamau Stokes is doing this.
Because, you know, if you see the people that you're around, you're doing the same thing, kind of grinding, working towards the same goal, and you know, somebody at work gets a promotion or something, there's probably going to be, I keep coming back to the word jealous, and I don't know if that is totally the right way to phrase this, but you just catch the fever. You see that happening and say, well, I could do that too. Maybe I need to start thinking about that, and I need to start doing whatever I can to put myself into position there. I mean, I think that's a natural thing to have happen. My issue here is that, you know, if you're making a list of guys that have NBA potential on K-State's roster right now, I think Kamau Stokes and Barry Brown would fall 3 and 4, honestly, on my list when I really think about it, because there's two guys that I think would have a better shot. One would be Xavier Sneed, and if we're talking Wesley Iwundu, I mean, the comparison for Xavier Sneed has always been a more advanced offensive player than Wes, but a lot of the same characteristics as what he had as a freshman, so that would make sense. But I think the biggest guy, you know who the name I'm about to spew out here is, Dean Wade. Dean Wade. If there's a guy, if Dean Wade would have put his name in as an early entry for the NBA draft to go get feedback and hear what they say, I'm all about that. That all of a sudden starts to become different, because what we've always wanted to see from Dean Wade is just more aggressiveness, you know, more just have a drive to go towards something. To just really assert your will. I'm not saying he doesn't have drive, but I guess the drive to go out there and be aggressive and just relentless and use the skill set and the size combination that you have. Because if there is a guy that is here in Manhattan, Kansas right now that has the best shot just from a, you know, a frame standpoint, what his body is and his skill set to go with it, it's Dean Wade.
And I would have to think that Dean Wade will go ahead and test the waters in the same capacity a year from now, at least assuming that he has a solid 2017-18 season. Because at that point, again, like you've said, the rule has changed that you can do this as many times as you want. As long as you don't hire an agent, it's fine. Why wouldn't you take that opportunity if you're a guy that we, like we believe, that has that frame and has that potential to be an NBA player?
Here's, I think, a better way of saying what we're trying to say here about Dean Wade. If he were to go put his name in the early entrance list to test the NBA draft waters, that would tell us Dean Wade thinks someday he's going to be an NBA player. And a lot of times what we get stuck on is wondering, does Dean Wade really believe that he is as good as everybody thinks he is? If he were to do this, this would be a move that tells me, all right, he's got it in his head now that he thinks he's a good enough player to play in the NBA. And that would be, I think, huge. You'd love that attitude to seep into him. So yeah. That's why, if this story were about Dean Wade, I would be approaching this from a different standpoint.
And I think that if we were talking about Dean Wade and not Kamau Stokes, we wouldn't be doing it for our 5-10 segment. It would be more buried into the content of the show because it wouldn't
I don't
be as surprising.
Think so. No, I totally disagree.
Really?
Because it's a big story. If Dean Wade
it's
all of a sudden,
big story,
if
but
Dean Wade all of a sudden thinks he has NBA potential, and we're seeing that, you know, in such a bold way. Because I think he'd show up on the same list that Jeff Goodman put out there of guys that he was surprised had their name in. It's going to be a bold move. It's a bold move for Kamau Stokes to do it. It's a bold move because you know what some of the reaction is going to be. If Dean Wade said, I don't care what the reaction is going to be. I think I'm an NBA player and I want to go get some feedback like this because I believe in my heart of hearts I'm an NBA player. It's big news. We talked all year about what's going on when he's in slumps. Why can't he just consistently put this together? That was a storyline. That's been a storyline for 2 years for K-State basketball. So if we got some evidence to the contrary, that definitively, no, I think it would be a bigger story.
Okay.
I do. I'm not saying it's bad that Dean Wade didn't do this because we all expected absolutely nothing of this. This came as out of left field as it could have possibly come. But that would have been my preference if you're going to have one guy do this. All in all, I don't think we're going to look back on this at all for Kamau Stokes or anybody and say somebody made a big mistake here. I don't think it will be that big of a deal. But I do think there are concerns. I think you do want to monitor what happens with Kamau Stokes and how he plays next year. And then obviously, will Dean Wade eventually try and do something like this? And will Wesley Iwundu get drafted? Because maybe if he gets drafted, then next year you see this happen even more with those guys that are on the team. We got into some of the ESPN discussion in the first hour of the show. Basically, I've been frustrated, one, with people just cracking a bunch of jokes because these are people that work in the same line of work as us. And so when you see giant layoffs happening, I mean, there's some trickle down just to me thinking like, well, you know, if all these people, if Brett McMurphy, Jeremy Crabtree, like they can't keep their jobs up there at the highest level, what would ever tell me that I can get to that point. You know what I mean? There are a lot of these thoughts that come through my head. So making fun of people, as so many people have with ESPN, reveling in people losing their jobs, like, I have not enjoyed that aspect of it at all.
And, I mean, had your career taken a very, you know, slight adjustment in its trajectory 4 or 5 years ago, who knows, you could have been one that was released today from ESPN. What? Just saying that you can put yourself in their shoes, because a lot of these people that we're seeing, yes, there are some big names, but a lot of them are people that are in year 3, 4, or 5 of their careers at ESPN, and I'm saying that when you were first starting out in the radio business, maybe you say yes to a different job opportunity than coming here, and you end up doing something for ESPN Radio.
I don't know that I'd be at ESPN.
Well, when you say that you feel more personally impacted by it, I think that's kind of what you're trying to say, because they're positions that are similar.
It just makes it seem like the mountain is that much higher to climb. If there are these people that are this respected and they're getting laid off, it just makes the mountain feel higher to climb, is all I'm trying to say. But really, the bigger point here is I just think it's insulting to people's intelligence to say that because ESPN paraded Caitlyn Jenner out in front of everybody at the ESPYs, and because they talked about Colin Kaepernick a lot, that's the reason that they lost 1 million subscribers and therefore have had to go ahead and have this massive round of layoffs. That's a drop in the bucket compared to what the actual problems are here for ESPN. They not only have the expenses that people are dealing with, you know, the cord cutting just because of the pure cost of it. I use the example, like, I've thought about doing it even though my livelihood depends on knowing what's going on in sports. They've also tied themselves down. This is where ESPN as an entity, sure, they deserve some criticism because they've tied themselves down with a lot of bad business deals. At the top of the list, probably the Longhorn Network. I mean, they sign up for 20 years on that thing. They're committed to $295 million. That's a lot of money to tie in something that just we know is not, that's not going to be a moneymaker, that's not working, that has not worked the way they thought. They've also committed 10 years, $15.2 billion to the NFL, their agreement there to be able to have NFL programming and highlights and all that. They have a 9-year, $12 billion deal with the NBA. And they have a $7.3 billion deal for the college football playoff. All these things, I think in hindsight, they got too carried away with taking on too much of this. And now they're having to find a way to make up for that money and thus layoffs. It's really, people want to complicate this way more than what it is. They've made some bad business deals. The world is changing and people are cutting the cord and realizing that they can save money. And therefore, ESPN is having to try and evolve and go a different route. So they get rid of some more old-school reporters and people that are more on the periphery of what they're trying to do, and they're trying to move in a different direction and make up that money.
Well, and I mean, I know that you and I disagree on this to a certain extent, but I just don't like the choices that they're making as far as what they're going to prioritize keeping around and what they're prioritizing getting rid of, because I look at how much they are trying to basically save every last penny that they possibly can at this point. You're still going to trot Stephen A. Smith out there. You're paying over $3 million a year with his contract to scream on TV for 3 hours a day.
Okay, and I hear you on that. I don't like Stephen A. Smith, but if you're going to criticize them for paying too much for talent, that is completely the wrong way to go. That's been a trend for ESPN for a couple years now. They've let a ton of people walk because they're not going to go sign them to big deals. That's what ESPN has gotten away from, because they're tied into these big deals. I mean, that's almost another part of this. So many people have signed mega deals with Fox Sports 1. You want to criticize someone for that? Fox Sports 1's paying Skip Bayless $5 million. You know,
yeah.
They're the ones that are shelling out the big money. I don't think that's a valid criticism on the whole for ESPN.
Well, I I'm not saying that that's the end of the list. I mean, you look at some of their other entities that I think that they can get out of that maybe they are not as strapped into as Longhorn Network and the college football playoff and everything. But 5 days ago, they purchased their 16th bowl game. They now own the rights to 16 different bowl games, and those bowl games have very poor attendances. They change their name sponsor every single year. The 5 days ago was the Miami Beach Bowl, and now it's going to be in Frisco, Texas. I would have to think that if they got out of the owning bowl games business, that would save them enough money that they could keep a few more of these really good reporters around, because at the end of the day, maybe we just disagree with the very basis of this, but I don't think it's sustainable for ESPN to not have any reporters that can actually give you a scoop, give you the first story. I don't think that ESPN is going to survive just being reactionary to everyone else breaking all the news.
Okay, well, you said a lot there, and you're going two different ways. One, again, we're talking dropping the buckets when you're talking about buying a bowl game. Maybe it doesn't look a little ridiculous in light of all this, sure, but that's not bringing anybody back. Them signing on to a bowl game, that's not bringing people back. That's not an expense that, I mean, it pales in comparison to this. That's like looking at someone with cancer and being like, well, man, your issue is you got a cut on your right hand. Very small in comparison to what's actually wrong here. And I agree with you that at some point you probably do need, you know, some actual reporting going on, but this is far from an ESPN problem. That is like the way of the world. It's moving towards the E in ESPN, entertainment, and admittedly so, I eat it up. I listen to the Dan Le Batard Show podcast more than any other sports talk show right now. It's about 30% sports, 70% entertainment and irreverence. And I love it. I love it. I would way rather listen to that than just sports. The days of stick to sports are over. And ESPN is trying to evolve with that. That's why you're seeing stuff like this happen and the people be released that were released.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, it is the maybe the greatest get-off-my-lawn take of all get-off-my-lawn takes, and that's stop changing, planet Earth. I like you how you were, you know, and I fall into that camp. I miss what ESPN used to be, and it's not coming back, and I understand that. And I understand that they are trying to be at the forefront of this so that they can get ahead of everything, but I think in the process, they are making some decisions they're going to come to regret later.
I guess I would put it to you this way. What do you think is a more entertaining segment that we do? Do you think Jabroni of the Week's more entertaining, or if I sat here with a list and went, all right, so coming out of spring, at defensive tackle, you've got Will Geary and Trey Deshaun. You know, I just don't know. Do they have the depth to survive there? I just don't know.
You need both.
Jabroni of the Week's more entertaining, man.
Yeah, it is more entertaining, but you need both. You need both.
What did DJ Reed have to say about media members potentially fielding punts and kicks at a spring game? Would he take it easy on us? We'll let you know next.